In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're now going to consider chapter 7 in the Gospel of Mark, and the first part of it anyway, and we'll do the rest later. But the first 23 verses of chapter 7, which we're going to do, have to do with experts in Jewish observance confronting Jesus and their annoyed, and maybe scandalized, that his disciples seem to eat their food with unclean or common hands. That is, they don't wash them. The text literally goes, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. Now, you realize it's a 2.5-day walk, so they're pretty serious about getting there and to confront Jesus. And saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. And then Mark adds for our information a parenthetical statement, the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. And so they're challenging this practice, it seems, of the disciples, which Jesus allows. They're his disciples. And it's the age-old problem of having well-intentioned observances that pretty soon replace the whole point of them. That is, it's not only our hands that have to be clean to serve God, it's our hearts. And that's what Jesus is going to respond to this. Now, they were sincere, maybe. They may not have been just trying to trap Jesus. They may have been. But they're shocked. They are not doing what all devout Jews do. Therefore, they're not devout Jews. So how come they're your disciples? That's sort of the line of argument, huh? So Mark gives that explanation. Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? Tradition, paradosis, you see, is a very important thing in any religious situation. So they're not following the customs of the people. He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. That's our Lord's answer. You see, they matin vainly, they worship me, teaching the teachings that are really commandments, or whatever the word they use in this text, traditions of men. Now, our Lord goes back to respond more directly. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commandments of God in order to observe your own traditions. And now he counterattacks. Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might have otherwise from me is korban, that is, it's a gift dedicated to God, and now it belongs to God, then you no longer, that is in the temple and can be used by the people in the temple. You don't let him do anything for his parents. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. Now that, you see, is such an obvious temptation to have our practice of observing God's law under our own control. We make up the little rules, and then we keep them, and we expect God to keep them. And we don't even know if he's interested. And of course, then he'll go on to say, you see, you do many things like that, you see. And that's his return challenge. To have this observance. So it makes sense even, you know, hygienically to wash your hands some when you come in from the market. But this is a ceremonial washing. And it also includes the way the plates and cups and utensils are washed. It's dangerous. Because it can replace, as our Lord says here, you see, you keep all those, and yet you have found a legal way to keep your money. My money is korban. And now I don't have to, it's dedicated a gift to God. It belongs to the temple, and I run the temple, so kind of it's going to be mine. And you long longer let them do anything for his father and mother. And thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. That's our Lord's rejoinder. Now these men, they may have been quite sincere about what they were doing, but seems to be there's no doubt that they are trying to find fault with Jesus. And they pick on something which they consider airtight. And he points out, Moses never prescribed this. This is your recent legislation. Recent doesn't have to be like yesterday. But it's the development of the Torah. If you dedicate things to the temple, they belong to the temple, and you can even do that with material that your parents can use. And those who live by the temple have that much more to live by. And people do it, obviously, and it's wrong. Now, that can happen sometimes among us, too, you know. Somebody can dedicate $20 million to build the John Q. Jones Science Building on the campus. And his own family don't get enough money. That's wrong. The university can get some more money to, you know, you give them $5 million and let them find the rest. And take care of your own. That's your family. And so, that's our Lord's rejoinder to that. That's their challenge and his rejoinder. And then, he goes on, you see, down to verse 13, and you do many things like that. Then, and calling again the crowd, he said to them, listen, all of you, and understand. Nothing that comes out of a man going into him can make him unclean, but rather, I thought I had an English translation that would help me here. There it is. After he had left the crowd and entered the house. No. So calling the crowd together again. Oh, I have a Bible. Nothing outside of a man going into him can make him unclean. But that which comes out of a man can make him unclean. His actions, his words. And our Lord's making a distinction. You see, he's challenging them, but it's a challenge that can go far beyond the Pharisees of the day to ourselves, where we have this practice of these religious things we do, and they could be good, but what about our own family? What about the poor? You know, there's more things than just buildings and banquets and things like that, you see? And that's what he's going... any support you might have from me is korban, meaning dedicated to God. You allow that one to do nothing more for his father or mother. You nullify the word of God, which says, honor your father and mother in favor of your traditions that you have handed on, and you do many such things. Then he calls together the crowd, and he says to them, hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. And then he's going to go on later to explain that. What we produce from ourselves can be defiling. Thoughts, words, ambitions, slander, cursing, lies, manipulation, all of that can make us very unclean in God's sight. But whether we wash our hands before we eat, it's always a good idea, but it's got nothing to do with your standing before God. And that's the point that our Lord is making. And that's why, you see, Mark says, and therefore he made all foods clean. You see, he gathers these people again to do that. He summoned the crowd again and said, now listen to me and understand, nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. And so then when they got into the house, this is a key word for Mark, the house, getting into the house. If you look, I know a young man doing a doctorate on the use of the word house in Mark. It's a place of revelation very often. When he got into the house, literally, he asked them, his disciples asked him about the parable. It wasn't really a parable, but they thought it was. He said to them, are you even likewise as well as them without understanding? Do you not realize that everything that goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart but the stomach and passes out into the latrine? And then Mark adds, thus he declared all foods clean, which will, you know, is different than the Torah, where there are lists of clean and unclean foods. But what comes out of a person, this is what defiles. From within, people from their hearts come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile.